Well, good morning. Thank you so much, Jared. It's an absolute delight, and I say that and a privilege to be here. We first met a couple of months ago, and same, I guess, you just get that sense where you get a connection with somebody, and Jared and I felt that, and we caught up even late this last week. By the way, it's also wonderful just to be here, and I came for Hank's birthday, actually. Wonderful to see my old friends Hank and Lainey, I've not seen for many, many years, but go back a long, long time, and so it's just a blessing to see you and catch up with you. Can I congratulate you on a church and what you're doing in India? That's a remarkable story. Never underestimate the significance of the impact that you can have on people's lives. We are so blessed in this country to be in a position that comparatively small investment can make a world of difference in an environment like that. And what you as a church have invested in and been able to do, and others coming on board and helping, is remarkable. And so well done. Where's Sasha? Is she here? You're there, Sasha. Just when you were leading worship this morning, I got the name right, didn't I? Yeah. I just felt God just put in my heart, there's another level for you. You have incredible anointing. You have incredible ability. You have a gift on your life in worship and leading worship and to be able to take people into the presence of God. But there's yet another level for you to go. And I just sense there's a dynamic. There's something of God on your life in that area. And so if you just make even a fresh commitment to seek God, you've got a sensitivity to God and the ability to take people into the presence of God. And I just want to encourage you this morning. God bless you. Yeah. Well, your theme, what is the time? It's 10 past 10. Yeah, Jared told me you go to lunchtime, so. Your theme is keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning. I was, about a week and a half ago, I was down at Ballandine, south of Stanthorpe, and a couple of days I was doing some coaching with the staff of a company. And it was quite cool, and we were in a large home down there, which is, you know, for that sort of purpose, and they had a fireplace. And how many of you got a fireplace, by the way, in your home? Anybody? Yeah, because normally, there's one or two. Kind of, we get one or two days a year. You know, winter. I think winter was a Thursday last year. It was a bit fresh this morning. But down at Ballandine, and of course you know that area of Stanthorpe, it does get quite cool. And beautiful fireplace, and one of the guys had stoked up at the fire. And have you ever caught yourself just staring into the flames? I mean, it can be just a candle sometimes, or it might be a fireplace. There's something about fire. There's something attractive about fire. I mean, I've never sat and put an ice cube on the table and just stared into it. I've never seen people get a block of ice in some and just sit around and stare at the ice block. But there's something about fire that's attractive. And in the Bible, of course, fire is representative. It's symbolic of the presence of God. We have probably, many of you here have probably prayed to be on fire for God. We talk about being baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The dictionary, just the ordinary dictionary, nothing spiritual, says about that fire is the active principle of burning, and is characterized by the heat and light of combustion. Another definition, if you take it into a personal dynamic, is a strong feeling of passion or excitement, or to make explode by lighting or igniting. Cool. So I want you this morning, and obviously you've already spoken into this and talked about this passage. Leviticus is not probably one of the books that I preach from most. It's not one of those books in the Bible you get up and go, oh, I can't wait to get into Leviticus. But this passage, some years ago, in fact, I was reading this passage. And God just spoke to me some stuff that And I'm going to share a little bit of that with you this morning. And I know you will have read these verses, I'm sure, over past weeks, but I do want to just read these again this morning, Leviticus chapter 6, just verses 8 to 13. And again, you will know what the common theme here is. And again, listen for it. Jared's already talked about it this morning. Listen for the thing that God is constantly reinforcing in this, in his dialogue, his conversation with Moses. The Lord said to Moses, "Give Aaron and his sons this command. These are the regulations for the burnt offering. The burnt offering is to remain on the altar hearth throughout the night, all morning, and the fire must be kept burning on the altar. The priest shall then put on his linen clothes with linen undergarments next to his body, shall remove the ashes of the burnt offering that the fire has consumed on the altar and place them beside the altar. Then he is to take off these clothes, put on others, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a place that is ceremonially clean. The fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning, the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings on it. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out." What's the common theme that God is reinforcing? The fire must not go out. The fire must, three times in that short dialogue, three times, God says the fire must be kept burning. Do you ever notice when someone first becomes a Christian? When they first come to Christ and get saved and they have that marvelous conversion experience as a new Christian, or and they put their hand up, they want to get involved, they're just so passionate to do something for God. And some of you can remember maybe those first opportunities you got to serve God. It might have been on the overhead projector, which was, for those of you who've been around a long time, that was the pathway to leadership. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But you ever notice that people were so passionate about serving God, and many of us here have been there. When that first dynamic of the sense of God touches and changes our lives, we're just passionate to serve God. There's a fire that burns in our heart. And I remember in the earlier years of ministry, we were pastoring, we re-pioneered a church in Groveley in the northern suburbs, northwest of Brisbane. And a couple of years in, there was we had just this touch of God. We ended up with about five or six members of what was then called the Capera Gang got saved. These were young guys between the ages of probably 18 and 20. And just over a few months, it was just one of those marvelous seasons. It was amazing. And these young guys would come to our place every Thursday night, and they'd walk in with their Bibles, and they'd just sit on the carpet in our lounge room and open their Bibles and kind of open their mouths, and it's like they were so hungry. There was such a fire, there was such a passion, such a desire to serve God. I remember one of these young guys, he'd only been saved about 3 weeks. This was back in the days before we had high tech, you know, and so I remember at the end of the announcements, which was a very important part of church life, kill a meeting. Anyway, I remember during the announcements on this one Sunday, I just happened to say, oh, by the way, just a reminder, there's a board meeting on Tuesday night, just for the board members. Well, this young guy, he's just so passionate to be involved in everything. He didn't know what a board meeting was. He turns up to the board meeting on Tuesday night. He just wanted to be involved. How many of you know you've got to be on fire to want to go to a board meeting? Yeah. And sometimes those of us who've been around for a while, we see people who first get saved and they're so full of zeal, and sure, they may lack some knowledge or wisdom in some areas, and we go, oh, don't worry, they'll settle down. Oh my goodness, no. They'll become like you. Because after a while, it seems like the fire dies down. It seems like, yeah, they settle down. After a while, very often, they lose their their passion and the edge and the desire to serve God. They just aren't dedicated to the things of God like they used to be. And that can happen because of any number of things. It can happen because of weariness. It can happen because of disappointment. It can happen because of the pressures of life. It can happen because of maybe disillusionment, unfulfilled expectations, distractions. And ultimately, though, it leads to a sense of apathy in our lives. And we become spiritually unhealthy Christians. Christians with no fire. It's interesting, if you go back in the Old Testament, there was Jeremiah, who is, you know, known as a pretty fiery prophet. But there was a point when Jeremiah had become so discouraged. And in chapter 20, we won't take time to turn there, but I'll allude to a couple of verses. In verses 7 and 8, he's over it. Have you ever, those of you been around church for life for a while, have you ever kind of gotten over it? Don't put your hand up. Jared, you can put yours down. Yeah. But Jeremiah goes, I've had enough, Lord. Everyone mocks me and ridicules me. The word of the Lord has just brought me pain and insult. And he says, he's talking to God. He says, I told them what you told me to tell them, and they hate me. Serving you has just brought me pain. Hard to believe. Oh, I've been there. I'm sure many of you have. And he goes on to say, verse 9, he says, he gets to the point, he is so over this that he actually says to God, he says, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. Wow. That's pretty full on. That's pretty full on. But I'm so glad it doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, but... You know, there are some good buts in life. It's like that's the turning point. And but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I couldn't hold it in. I couldn't contain it. Jeremiah had cooled down. He decided, in fact, to keep his mouth shut, but he couldn't. Because inside was a fire. I want to say to you this morning that there is the tendency, there is the potential within every one of us for the fire to go out. A fire on its own, left on its own, has the tendency ultimately to die down and to go out. I've been through those seasons. As Jared mentioned, I've been in... This is my 44th year in ministry. Started when I was 7. And you're not supposed to laugh at that, honestly. And there have been seasons along the way, and I remember one particular season, 2005-06. We were pastoring a church on the Gold Coast, which we'd seen fantastic blessing and growth, and been through a difficult time, that church, and when we went there, it had grown from about 50 to 500, and then we had another campus, and we ran a childcare center, and we had a large community care, multi-million-dollar community program, and lots of stuff happening, and then some stuff just unfolded. And I don't have time, and we don't have tissues, to tell you the story this morning about all that happened. But it was absolutely the worst, at that point, 2 years of my life in leadership. And I can remember walking out the back car park of our church facility one day after everybody's staff had gone home, and I'm just so, God, I'm done with this. And I'm so glad that God is not super sensitive. I'm glad that he's not too touchy, because I would have just been a pile of ash. But I've gone, God, you can keep your ministry. going to go and get a real job. No, I'm I'm over this. Da, 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 da. And I'm so glad that God is gracious. And for me, the fire had died down. It had been smothered, and it was just smoldering. And some of us have been there. Some of you have been there, and maybe there's some of you there even today. And it's not a great place to be. For whatever reason, if you find yourself there, you may still be going to church. You may still be fulfilling some role or responsibility. But now there's no joy in it. There's no victory in it. There's no power. There's no excitement. There's no fun. And in that place, the fire, which normally ignites things when they get nearer, when it gets near something else, no longer ignites anything. No longer ignites anyone. In fact, it's a funny thing, isn't it? When a fire begins to die down and begins to smolder and smoke, rather than being attractive, it becomes a repellent. Because the smoke starts to get... How many of you have been around a fireplace or something and the smoke, and you've moved because the smoke's getting up your nose and in your eyes, and because this thing... And sometimes we start smoking. And I'm not talking about that. In fact, when I was growing up, and for many years in church life, you knew distinctly immediately if someone was going to hell because they smoked. Like, that was the clear mark of that, wearing makeup, for the women. there was a whole lot of things back there, but, like, honestly, smoking won't keep you out of heaven, that kind of smoking. In fact, it'll get you there sooner. But when the fire on the inside dies down and we start to smolder, we can very easily become a repellent. It's not good for us, it's not good for others. It can be irritating, damaging. So this thought of the fire continually burning has very great significance, I think, for us personally, because the fire on the altar of our hearts has got to be kept burning for God. There's just a couple of points that I want to just draw your attention to this morning before I finish. Don't get excited. It's a long way away yet. But let me just make this point. Firstly, I want you to note in that passage that the priests were charged with the responsibility to take care of the fire on the altar, to keep the fire burning. God very strongly emphasized that fact. And I want to say to you this morning that if you know God, if you love Him, if you've committed your life to Him, then in the New Testament, in our relationship with Jesus, you have the responsibility. You are the priest of the altar of your own heart. And it is your responsibility. It's not the pastor's responsibility or the leader's responsibility or somebody else's responsibility. It's your responsibility and my responsibility. I'm responsible to keep the fire burning on the altar of my heart. By the way, that fire, you know, back there originally came from heaven, from God. Because it was started when Aaron was instructed by the Lord to offer the first sacrifice, and it started burning, and in Leviticus 9:24, it states, the fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering. By the way, that fire that gets put in our heart when we first come to Christ, when we have that first dynamic encounter, it's not just the fire of natural enthusiasm. It's not just the fire of excitement or you know, of hype. It's actually the fire from heaven, because the presence of God comes into our lives. And interestingly enough, in the history, that fire burned literally from generation to generation. In fact, it burned, you know, for 860 years without going out. From 1446 BC to 586 BC. And it was only when the Babylonians overran the nation and destroyed the altar that the fire went out. We've got to keep the fire burning. So I want to focus in on just one aspect of this particularly this morning. It's interesting. This is the thing God spoke to me about. In that passage we read before, God gives some very specific instructions about one aspect of keeping the fire burning. And part of that process was they had to get rid of the ash. How many of you, and we said before, there was one or two here that have or have had a fireplace, and I know from years ago myself that sometimes you get to the end of winter and of course you've lit the fire for the last time, and then you come back and the weather starts to cool down, I need to clean out the fireplace, I need to clean out the ash before we get that fire going. Because ash will be a retardant, in a sense, to the fire burning brightly and effectively and strongly. So just listen to this again. God says, he shall remove, talking about the priest, he shall remove the ashes of the burnt offering that the fire has consumed and place them beside the altar. Then he's got to change his clothes, put on others, carry the ashes outside the camp to a place that is ceremonially clean. So let me ask you this question. What is ash? What is ash? Ash really is the residue of the burnt sacrifices of the past. Think about it. It's the residue, and it's normal. It's normal. That's why you have to clean your fireplace out. You put some logs on there or whatever. There's ash. And particularly in the context of offerings, burnt offerings, there is even more residue and more ash. And here's the point. In our lives, when we have been serving God, we have made sacrifices over time. What you have, this is an amazing facility. What you have, absolutely amazing. But this is here because of the sacrifices that people have made over many, many years. I met Gwen before, wherever you are, Gwen, who Jared was telling me was one of the original members of this church. People like Hank and Laney have been here since just after Noah landed the ark. And others of you, I'm sure. But over the years, whether you've been here 1 year or 40 years, there's been sacrifice made. Here's the point. When you make a sacrifice, be it of time, it's consumed. You're not getting that back. When you make a sacrifice financially, you put it on the altar and give it to God, it's consumed. You're not getting it back. But energy. It's gone. What you put on the altar is consumed. But there's a residue. And that residue sometimes can be disappointment, discouragement, or disillusionment. I served, I thought that would lead to that, or I thought if I, that would happen, or I thought, and we have these expectations, and sometimes doesn't always go that way, and we have this residue. And the ash can stifle the fire and stop it burning. And so God gave very clear instructions that the ash had to be carried out. Excuse me. It had to be handled properly. Ash is normal, okay? It's okay to feel disappointment. It's okay to feel discouragement. It's okay to feel frustration. It's okay, but you've got to deal with it. You've got to deal with it. And so God gives very clear instructions, because this ash particularly, if not handled properly, it would not only hinder the fire, but it was a contaminant. It was a pollutant. It was dangerous. And the residue of our past sacrifices got to be dealt with properly, so as we also do not contaminate or pollute others with our sense of discouragement, our disillusionment, our disappointment, whatever it might be. Have you ever met toxic Christians? Probably not in this church, but out there, I've got to tell you. I remember many years ago, some decades ago, there was a young man who was a youth pastor of a significant church in the city in Brisbane. And some stuff went kind of sideways. I can't remember all the details. And he got very bent out of shape. He left the church. I mean, when I say left the church, he left the church. He backslid. Actually cut himself off. He and his wife cut themselves off even from many of their own family. It was just tragic. And I'd not, and it'd been an enormous potential in this guy's life, and I'd not seen him in many, many years, probably 15 years, and this is now going back a long while, this is going back 15 years. And my wife and I were holidaying at the time, and we went to a restaurant one night on the coast, and lo and behold, who's the manager of this restaurant but this guy? And he and I had never had any issues personally, and so we talked, but we chatted for 5 minutes, but it was like he just, as we walked away, I felt like I'd just been vomited on. It was like he was just filled with bitterness. I mean, this is all these decades later. And it was just terrible. And I actually said to my wife, I said, and put aside theology for a moment, but if ever someone had become demon-possessed, like he opened himself up massively to darkness, he'd become so toxic. Poisoned his life. I just want to say that toxic Christians can be very, very damaging. And problem was, he never dealt with ash. He never dealt with the ash. So I want to encourage you this morning. And if you've been around church life more than 3 weeks, somebody will have disappointed you. If not, you've obviously not really engaged. You got to keep your heart clean. Deal with the ash, whatever that might be for you. The other point, just very quickly, and we'll come towards a close. I'm a visiting preacher. I get three closes. The other aspect of the fire here, keeping the fire burning, was that, just a reminder, that the priests had to obtain fresh fuel for the fire every morning. Now, I don't have to preach into that too much, because you know what that means, but they had to keep fueling the fire. What are you doing to fuel the fire? In an environment that is trying to dampen the fire in our lives and our hearts. We live in a societal environment. We live in a cultural environment that increasingly is wanting to put the fire out. What do you do? By the way, one of the things, and there's many, one of the things I think so vital to keeping the fire burning is fellowship. I think that's why we read, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." See, if I take, and you will have done this, some of you, if you take a coal, not barehanded, but with tongs, out of the fire, and it's glowing and burning brightly, and I put it over here on its own, it's amazing how quickly it dies down and goes out. And the same is true with people. That they're not in fellowship and in connection, whatever that means within the context of church life and the body of Christ, because there is no such thing as individual, independent Christianity. We are the body of Christ. We are meant to relate and to connect. It's the way God designed it. It's a fellowship. Connection's so important, because if you then pick up that coal that is now dull and looks lifeless, and you put it back in the fire, in no time, it's alight and glowing again. You've got to keep fuel on the fire. And one of the reasons why the fire needs to burn brightly in our lives is because fire is contagious. And that's why we're here. We are here to be contagious. Like, you're contagious with something. You ever hang around people and you catch discouragement? You ever hang around people and you catch gloom and doom? We're all contagious with something, and not just the flu. It's amazing how environment and atmosphere and people can be contagious. I remember the first time on one of my first trips to the States years ago, and I went with a friend. I was in LA, Los Angeles, and we went to a baseball game. I'd never been to a baseball game. I love sport, but I never particularly followed it or was interested massively, but I just wanted to go for the experience in America, and it was amazing. So we're watching the Dodgers play whoever it was, I can't remember now. But if you've ever been in that environment, there is something contagious. Like, you know, they've got the between the innings, you know, there's somebody somewhere, there's a soundtrack, or somebody, maybe it's somebody playing a real organ, da-da-da-da-da, and it's like the enthusiasm. And at halftime, I knew this thing had gotten to me. It was so contagious, because I'm standing with all the other Americans with my hand on my heart singing God Bless America. Because this thing was so contagious. So contagious. We ought to be contagious with life and with passion and with enthusiasm and with the love of God and with the fact that God has a destiny and a hope for people's lives. That's why we're here. Hope is in your name. We ought to be bringing hope to people. We've got to be contagious, and therefore your heart has got to be on fire. There's got to be a passion. There's got to be a fire that burns in your heart, because you cannot bring to the world what you do not have. So I wonder if our keys player could just come back, if you would, this morning, or the band, in fact. We have got to be careful about keeping the fire burning. We must not allow the pressures of life to extinguish it. We can't allow the distressing doubts that will arise in all of our thinking and our minds from time to time. There are some unanswerable questions, but they're dark tunnels. There's no point trying to go down those tunnels. Can't allow the comforts of this life to smother the fire. We can't allow the tragedies of life to flood over it, put it out. Can't allow the pressures of life to extinguish it. And we can't allow the ashes to remain there undealt with. Sometimes it's not a major issue. Sometimes the fire dies down for whatever reason, and I'm sure some of you have fires dying down and you've just gone, that's amazing. It fans into life. And maybe you're here this morning and you just need some the breath of God to just breathe on your heart again. Sometimes it's like all he needs to do is lean over the balcony of heaven and go, and breathe on you again. I'd been in ministry about 10 years, and I think we didn't talk about the term burnout, but I was kind of on the edge of burnout. I'm a people person, but I've been for some weeks, didn't want to talk to people. It's not a good thing as a pastor. We went on holidays. We were in Brisbane at the time. We went on holidays to the Gold Coast, and I didn't even want to go to church. And the third week, my wife was insistent. So we went to church. And I went to, because I was AOG, now ACC, I was an AOG pastor, so I went to a non-AOG church because I didn't want to go where anybody knew me. And like all, no reference to anybody here, I made sure I got a couple minutes late, and I was in the second back row, because that was appropriate. And during the first song that morning, I did not engage, because I was feeling pretty, I wasn't happy with God. I was exhausted. The second song was just this beautiful worship song. And I've got to tell you, as I start to sing it, within 30 seconds, and it was literally like God leaned over and went on my heart. I'm standing there with tears running down my face because God breathed on me. And the fire was fanned into flame again. So this morning, whatever, wherever you may be on the journey and in your heart, if you may be a newer Christian, keep the fire burning. You may have been in this for 20 years, keep the fire burning. You may have been in this for 50 years, keep the fire burning. Do not let the fire go out. And particularly, I want to focus this morning, just as we close, on this thought of dealing with the ash. If you've not had ash, you're in denial. True, we all get ash. It's normal. But what you do with it is what matters. I would love everybody just to stand for a moment, if you would. Firstly, just every eye closed, if you would, every head just bowed for a moment. I don't know most of you, but if there's anybody here, and I always give this opportunity, is there anybody here this morning and you don't know God? You don't have a relationship with God? Or maybe you have, but you've walked away, totally walked away, and you're not in relationship with God. But if you're here this morning and that's you, and you just say, God, I just need you in my life, either for the first time or to come back into relationship with him. If that's you, would you just raise your hand, give me a wave? Anybody here this morning, if that's you, I'd love just to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but anybody, thank you. See your hand. Anybody else this morning? Either for the first time or to again connect with and have relationship with God. Anybody else this morning, just quickly? Okay. I don't know whether you normally do this. I don't so often these days, but we're just going to do 3 minutes. Because I sense an incredible sense of not just history in the life of this church, but destiny and future. Your most influential, impacting, effective days are yet ahead of you as a church. But the fire's got to burn brightly within your hearts. And this morning, maybe the fire's just died down, Maybe you haven't been putting fuel on it. Maybe it could be any reason. Or maybe there's ash. And you know it right now. Many of you have been in church life long enough. You know if God's talking to you. And I'm just going to ask you right now, if God's spoken to you this morning, I'm just going to ask you to walk out of your seat and just stand here at the front and say, God, I just want the fire to burn brightly again. Just come out of your seat right now. Just right now. You know when the God of the universe is speaking into your heart. You know. If that fire, and you think back, oh, I remember when I was so passionate. Remember when I just wanted to serve God. The fire's died down. Anybody else? You just come. Just come. This moment is between you and God. Don't hold back. If God's just spoken to you and into your heart, why would you not? You're not responding to me. But sometimes we just need to take a step in response to what God's saying and speaking into our lives. Anybody else? Just quickly, and then we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you for the fire of your presence that can only come from you. Oh, God. And God, your presence is here this morning. Your presence is in this house and upon this people and upon the lives of these people. And for those who've stepped forward this morning, God, I thank you for their honesty with themselves and with you to say, God, oh God, just relight the fire, fan it into a flame, God. And God, for those this morning who need to deal with ash, whatever that might be, I pray right now that you'd enable them, give them the wisdom, Lord, to identify that and to deal with the ash, whatever it is they need to do, to take it outside of the camp, to deal with it and get rid of it. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, you would come and you would bring healing and release in the hearts and lives of each and every person standing here this morning, God, as we just afresh surrender our hearts to you and we say, come, fire of God, burn in our hearts. Presence of God, come. Rekindle the flame, rekindle the passion, the heart for you, God, I pray. God, for those maybe just weary and the fire's died down, I pray, just breathe. Breathe on them this morning, I pray. God, let fires be rekindled. Let fires be relit this morning with passion. With passion. God, for those that have felt hurt or disappointed or weary, God, come now. Heal, restore as they release those things to you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And God, I just pray right now, your presence, your fire, your touch, come upon every heart and every life in the name of Jesus this morning. We release your presence. We release your touch. We speak the presence of the Holy Spirit out into lives and upon lives this morning in Jesus' name, that the fire may come and burn in our hearts, that God, we would become so contagious, so contagious. With your life and your presence, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks, Joe.